Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Weekly Highlight Podcast. We hope our in-season series have continued to help you progress and get better as the season wears on. Starting on Monday of this week, Brian Kite spoke with us once again on leadership. Here, the founder of DailyDiscipline.com shares his thoughts on introducing your players to vocal leadership.
You are going to be the one who talks to the team today. You are going to stand up, and you are going to be responsible. While the team takes a knee, you're going to step in the middle of the circle. All your peers are going to look at you, and you are going to deliver us the standard of our practice today and what your expectation of our team is. Do you have a point of view? Do you have an expectation? Do you have a demand? Do you have a backbone to look at your buddies and your friends and tell them what you expect from them on that day, or how you feel about them on that day? Because it's one thing for a coach to get up there and say, I care about you guys. I really want the best for you guys. It's a whole other thing to have a 17-year-old junior stand up there and tell his friends how he feels about them. I love you guys. I care about you guys. I wake up every day and I want to spill it for you guys. So that's a great, not breaking a huddle afterward, not doing a hype in the pregame, not that stuff. I'm talking about the mechanics, getting up, you know, in a meeting, in a session, saying, all right, you are responsible for setting our tone. What is our theme for the day? Like I think that's a really cool thing. Hey, back to the high school version of Keith. Say, Keith, come up here. Here we go. Stand up, pop your lid, take your helmet off. Here we go. Keith. Guys, we are getting our theme for the day from Keith. Keith, you got 2 minutes. What is our theme for the day, and how does that help us? Now, Keith, you are responsible for giving our whole team the theme for our practice on a Wednesday. Now the player has to articulate, right? If a player isn't great in that moment, if it's a bad rep, is that gonna change the course of the season or change the course of how you play on Friday? It's not. Right? It's not. And so, look, I mean, this is, you can still keep your hand on the back and look, if that player can't speak, very well, if they get super nervous, if they don't articulate, if they say something kind of silly, you just correct it and you just switch it. And then you pull that player back later and you say, hey, let's talk about how'd that go.
The Edge series continued with co-host Rob Everett on Tuesday, addressing evaluating your team's tackling in season. Everett does so here by diving into evaluating the primary tackle when looking at film.
We're only talking about the primary tackle also, that you really get deep into the grading. And in my experience, for even a professional football game, it's really only 30 to 50 primary tackles are occurring. Because after that primary tackle, whether it's made or missed, you don't need to go deep into the other ones. So that's a way to save time. So you're talking about 30 to 50 plays. And then if you're really looking to trim down some time even further, just grade the missed tackles, the missed primary tackles. So hopefully you're making more than you've missed. So you've taken those, 30 to 50 and now taken that, probably to 15 or 20 plays that you have to evaluate. And I think then it becomes a reasonable task. And usually what will happen is that the coaches will find out, all right, this isn't that bad. I can add on another 20 plays of the made tackles that we had, and we'll be able to get that data. So if you're doing that way, we talked about separating by position group. We talked about the yak. We talked about make and miss, and then just putting 0 and 1 on the five fights. And what I like about grading the five fights is it really is, a sniff test. You look at it and you can usually see that's a yes or a no in those five fights. It's not like the old days where you had to put that pencil down to find out if that guy's a three technique or not. When you're grading acceleration, are his cleats in the ground? Until you get comfortable, when you're grading the finish, did that guy finish on top? Those are real, relatively quick yes and no questions that you can answer. And as you get more comfortable, you can start getting deeper in with the KPIs that really kind of say yes or no in the scientific sense of each five fights.
For the Trends Day series, Charlie Coyner and Zach Dunn came back to us to continue the conversation on the unbalanced package, as well as to discuss plays you can add to your arsenal. Next, Coyner will elaborate on second-level screens and adding those plays to your offense.
oftentimes have an athletic quarterback in high school or middle school that he's not quite there yet to throw the ball down the field. And so I think that this is an excellent way for a coach to look and maybe model his offense around it. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here just a little bit, because you just now started to touch on it, and you're exactly right. I mean, these, you know, we see these guys run these plays, and I hope that the coaches out there that are listening understand that maybe some of them do, maybe things have changed, but odds are they didn't put that play in with a peak. I mean, there may be versions of that play. I know in the NFL when I was there, we would run a play maybe for 3 weeks until our coordinator felt like a threat. And you go like, well, how can it take that long? Well, it's risk and reward. Because if you run that play and it's not ready, then it's not only going to be a bad play, or at least it might be a pick. It might be a hurt quarterback. It might be this or that. So I just want to caution anyone out there that's sitting there, maybe you're 1-2, 1-3 right now. Don't go throw your whole offense out and think that you've got to run something that you hear about or see on TV. No, understand, like Keith just said, there is a lot of practice that goes in. So pick one or two plays that you really like, you think fits your team, and run them a lot, run it over and over again to get it ready. And certainly don't try to go in there and take 8 or 9, because you're just going to be your own worst enemy.
USA Football's very own Andy Ryland returned once again for the deliberate practice series on Thursday of this week, sharing his thoughts on preparing for your opponent's best player, or the dude. Here, Ryland speaks on the different body types the dude could possibly possess.
Whether it's a big body, a large receiver, a real tall receiver that you're going to face this week, or, you know, maybe they have a stud linebacker who's already committed to a Power 5 school. He's clearly going to be bigger and stronger than the guys you're going to put on scout team. So how do we manage the variables of, you know, our good on good reps, making sure that our players are fresh game day, but maybe we have a really good wide receiver on our team who tends to be a big body, and we're like, hey, you know what, you get some reps where our defensive backs are going against this guy. Well, yeah, it may happen in 1-on-1, and it may happen during a competitive period, but can we steal those 3-minute periods whatever we need, where we're balancing the training load and keeping them fresh, but making sure that they're getting some reps versus those bigger, longer bodies, you know, those long arm corners who are going to tie you up at the line of scrimmage, those real long arm pass rushers, or that 3 technique that's really difficult to move. Can we find some ways to get our big, strong guys into some positions? And I love it, and I think me and you are both huge fans of that pod work situations, where we can play with personnel a little bit to make sure we're getting the looks at. So, hey, when we go to team, you know, we're not going to ask Johnny to play 3 technique for us on team because he's also our starting guard. We got to make sure we keep him fresh. But when we go to this small group, if our guard is our strongest, most physical player, maybe we're going to get some work on trying to double and walk him off the ball. We'll couple that with our schematic, you know, focused team period to make sure those guys are ready. But playing with body types is always something that I think we need to be thinking about when it's that, you know, that special guy, that dude that we just really can't replicate.
Our host, Keith Grabowski, took over on Friday, giving a reflection of the week. In the following portion of the podcast, Grabowski explains to us 2 pieces of a Rob Pomazak article detailing keeping your foundation consistent, as well as referring to your assistant coaches as unit leaders.
So the key is this, and Rob outlines it, it's keeping the foundation consistent, where you're able to show your players how your value system is applicable to all aspects of training and see how their contribution to upholding the culture will positively affect the team's practice and ultimately affect the team on game day, that the outcome can be expected if we execute properly. So think about that. A lot of it really goes to your evaluation. I love filming practice. I think if there's a way that you can film some things, even if it's having, you know, one of your injured players or a team manager come over there and film with your phone, to try to get some things on practice that you can evaluate. So maybe it's a drill that you're working in, some things you need to work that are new that week that, again, at some point you can spend 5 or 10 minutes with your guys showing them this is what we need to do right. So this is what we're going to adjust in the next practice. Okay, it's all about that execution. The evaluation and feedback is such an important part of that. And obviously the culture folding into it, the way we go about doing the job and the standard of excellence that we place on it. The next thing Rob focused on, and this is something Urban Meyer talks about quite a bit. I've heard him talk about it, obviously, in his book, but recently on the podcast, is that what he did with his coaches was very important, that they ceased to be called assistant coaches and they became unit leaders. And I think that idea is transformational, right? We need leadership. We need those guys to be the leaders, especially the coaches. A lot starts with them and their individual groups. Urban talks about it as 9 units strong. So those guys can help build the culture that you need by, again, reinforcing those beliefs and holding your players to a higher standard, holding them to standards of execution as well as standards of behavior. Again, the two things, and this was pointed out by Urban and Tim Kite, it's about the mindset and the skill set.
Thanks for listening to the Coaching Coordinator podcast this week. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure to follow us on our Twitter account for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Read our show notes, analysis, and coaching articles at blogs.usafootball.com and check out our systems for blocking, tackling, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com. Finally, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as give us a 5-star review on iTunes. As always, be sure to check back next week for more one-of-a-kind content.